I grew up alongside the tracks in southern Idaho in the desert. My dad was a railroader. And there was a day when my sister's, older sister's boyfriend came out to visit her, obviously. What he didn't know was he had left his keys in his little car. It was a 47 Chevy or something of that nature. And so my little brother and I decided to take him for a joyride. And I was too short to reach the pedals. And so one of us steered and the other of us run the pedals. And I don't think there was too much of the brake pedal that was being used. But we went out in that desert and just had a great time driving that car, you know, steering with great precision. And there was a herd of wild horses that we saw coming, and we could see that they were going to cross the road that we were on. And like intelligent individuals that we were, we sped up. Instead of letting them cross, we sped up to see if we could cut them off. Well, in doing that, we lost control of the car and turned it up on its side. Now, we were too afraid to go home and tell Dad what we had done. And so we walked for 5 miles to a neighbor and asked him to bring his tractor out to pull the car back up on its wheels. And he did that. And I think it must have started again. I don't know. I don't know how we would have gotten it home otherwise. But I just know this, that we kind of snuck into bed that night so that Dad wouldn't find out. Well, as parents would be, he was wiser than we thought he would be. And of course he knew, but he, instead of bringing the belt with him when he came to see us, he just, I think he probably asked us if we'd learned anything. And probably the answer to that question, if we'd have been honest, would have been no. But anyway, we were afraid of him. Now, it's interesting that the scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 3 that Adam and Eve were afraid of God because of what they had done. They had sinned. They tried to hide from God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And God, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid." Look with me at Malachi chapter 3, please. And chapter 3, and we will be looking particularly in the last three verses, 16 through 18. And that scripture says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written about before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." They that feared the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're thankful, Father, that you have given us your word that we can read and know what you would have for us to do. Thank you, Father. Teach us today. And we thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says, they that feared the Lord. We need to understand that that fear the Lord actually could mean being actually afraid of God because of who he is. We sang, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, and how great thou art," because of who he is. We could be actually afraid of him. The phrase, the fear of the Lord, or fear the Lord, is used 32 times in the Word of God. The scripture tells us and gives us the context and the importance of that phrase in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, where it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, for every secret, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Fear the Lord. That's the whole duty of man. God wants us to fear him and obey his commandments. And we will, as we look, we can see that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." And that is an expression of our day. And there is very little fear of God before, oh, we worship God or do all kinds of things. But there's no fear of God. And then in Proverbs chapter 3, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Proverbs 16:6, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." And it's obvious today that the people all about us, too often people in churches, do not fear the Lord because there's no departure from evil in our day. But it also means not just being afraid of him for who he is, but it also means a reverential awe of God himself and reverence before him. We ought to just bow before the Lord. Psalm 33:8 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." And Psalm 34:11, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord." We can learn how to fear the Lord. It says in Psalm 111, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." I hope you have recognized or identified the fact that the fear of the Lord is directly tied to obedience to his word. And when the scripture tells us in our context, it says the fear of his commandments, it's talking about the word of God that we need to understand. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, he said, "Now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." We could substitute for the word Israel and put our own name in there and say, "But now, Roger, what doth God, the Lord thy God, require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Did you put your name in that verse? Did you say to yourself that verse and put your name there? That's what God requires of us in Deuteronomy chapter 31. It says that thou shalt read the law. Read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. We need to be sure and teach our children how to fear God, stand in awe of Him, and in fact, be a little bit afraid of Him because of who He is. We learn to fear the Lord by reading and listening to His Word. Every time the pastor stands in this pulpit and preaches the Word, or when the Sunday school teachers teach the Word, we are hearing His Word, and that helps us to learn how to trust and how to fear the Lord. Psalm 147 says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy." And Proverbs chapter 1 gives the other side of that. "For they hated knowledge and did not fear the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." So, the opposite of fearing God is to rebel against Him, for they hated knowledge and they did not choose to fear the Lord. Listen, folks, listen. What we do spiritually is a matter of choice. God does not put all of a sudden all the knowledge of God in our minds. We learn by what we read and what we hear. We learn. It's a choice that we make. And it says, they wouldn't even listen to me. They would not have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Listen, there are folks that do not listen to what God says and will not accept when God reproves them for something that they have done. Oh my. They feared the Lord. The rest in chapter Malachi says, "They feared the Lord, spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard in the book of remembrance." And they feared the Lord and that thought on His name. Do you think about the Lord? I imagine you probably are thinking a little bit about Him right now. But I mean during the week and during your day, do you think about Him? David Jeremiah said this: instead of relegating God to a specific time each day, intentionally seek to weave your awareness of Him throughout your day. He is present and waiting for you to invite Him into each moment of your unfolding life. And in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Everything that we do that has to do with our faith is because of the Lord Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. John Phillips said that phrase, or that word, "looking unto Jesus." The word "looking" is a foraon. I'm not sure that I pronounce it. It occurs only here. And it means looking away from all else. Looking at that which fills the heart. So God's desire of us is that we learn to fear Him. We learn to fear Him. We choose to learn to fear Him because of who He is and because of what He does. What's God's response to this? When in fact we do learn to fear Him. Scripture tells us again there in Malachi, He hearkened and heard when we talk to one another about the Lord, when we rejoice together and worship Him together, He hears. And it says, He hearkened and heard. Now the word "hearkened" is the same word that would mean when somebody is talking beside you, talking to someone else, You'd really like to hear what they're saying. That's what that word means. It kind of prick the ear to listen to what's going being said. And give attention to, give heed, incline your ear to hear. And then that second word, hearken, and he heard, is to hear intelligently. A lot of people, I'm afraid too often, I would have to include myself in this. Sometimes my dear wife will say something, and I hear it, but not intelligently, because I couldn't repeat it back to her. I obviously didn't do perhaps what she wanted me to do. But it says that God hears, pricks up his ears when we fear him and speak of him to one another. And not only that, a book of remembrance is written. I don't know what all that means. The best illustration perhaps that I have is that for many years, my dear wife kept a personal diary. Every day she would write in it, and perhaps it's a good thing that I never read that. But we don't know where they are right now. We don't know whether they're in Brazil somewhere or one of our daughters have them. Doesn't matter. But she kept that diary so that she knew exactly what happened on a particular day. A book, listen, a book of remembrance is written before God when we fear him and think on his name. When we learn and choose to fear God and think upon his name. Oh my, what a great thing. But not only that, it tells us in that passage that those that fear him shall be, it says, oh my, look at that, verse 17, and they shall be mine, as saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Those of us, those that choose to fear God, that learn to fear him through his word, the scripture tells us that he makes a note of it, he hears it, and we are his jewels. Oh my. I don't want anybody to get excited here today. It just would be too much. But the Lord makes up his jewels. And not only that, and it says, and I will, verse 17, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Oh my, our Savior, our Lord, spares us. And what a great thing to do. And so what should we do? I don't even know what time it is. Oh, I got plenty of time yet. Praise God for his considering me, considering you that fear his name as his jewels. And he will one day draw us together to be in his presence, because he will spare us in all that we encounter. Doesn't mean that we'll not have difficult times. It just means that God will not bring anything upon us greater than we can bear. But praise God for that. He will spare us. So what should we do? Verse 18 tells us, it says, then shall ye return. And discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Folks, then shall ye return. We can consider that as We spoke in Sunday school, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Listen, folks. Something that is lacking in too many lives today is the repentance that God requires of us when we sin. Oh, by the way, did you know that you sin from time to time? I hate to break that to you, but I do anyway. We return and we, in dedication before God, we choose to fear Him and learn to fear Him. And we walk in His ways and obey Him and all that He tells us to do. And try to apply the words of this book to our lives. We return. And when we do that, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, when we have something to deal with and we don't deal with it, that affects other parts of our lives. When we will not repent, when we will not return to God, then we lack the discernment that we need to make the choices that it says that between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Our discernment is affected by how we return to God. How we deal with things in our lives that are not what. Sometimes the returning to God is nothing more than, Lord, here am I. And begin to worship the Lord and to read the Word. Sometimes, and you don't need to answer this, obviously, but some folks perhaps have stopped reading the Word on a regular basis. You need to return to the Lord. Some of you perhaps are not, well, most of you are all pretty faithful in church, but some people need to return to the Lord about that. Return to the Lord. And when we do that, He gives us the ability to discern between what's right and what's wrong. And gives us what we need to act upon those things. Not everybody that, you remember? The Lord Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do you remember that? Jesus says that not everybody that talks the talk actually walks the walk and actually does and keeps the way of the Word of God. And so return, and it'll give us discernment when people, even listen, folks, even sometimes our friend can say the wrong thing or make a wrong decision, and unless we are choosing to fear God, we may not discern that that's exactly what happened. So the discernment comes as a result of learning to fear God. So what's the conclusion of the whole matter? Fear the Lord. Give value, reference, reverence, and think on His name. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and return to Him in whatever area that needs to be dealt with. Return to Him. Then third, fear the Lord and serve Him. Fear the Lord and serve Him. And then Fourthly, fear the Lord and expect Him. I praise God for Pastor Dirk's choices of the music this morning. I had asked him if we could sing How Great Thou Art, but the other music that the Lord put together was just exactly perfect. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2 says, But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Now, to be sure that we keep the context of that passage in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, it's speaking of the fact when the Lord Jesus Christ will return with the armies of heaven, of which we will be part, to defeat the enemy at the Battle of Armageddon. He will come, and there will be a remnant of people that will be saved during the tribulation time. Revelation chapter 7 says, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell amongst them. There will be people saved during the tribulation time. That's those 7 years that we cannot imagine what is going to happen. We, in Sunday school class, talked a little bit about the wickedness in our world today, in Huntsville, Alabama, and in this area. But the wickedness that is all about us, and it's nothing compared to what is going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ takes us out of this world. Because that's what's next for us, folks. The scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. We celebrated Bobby Walker yesterday. The remains of him. But Bobby Walker was already in the presence of God. Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall, unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And it's my opinion, but you can do what you want. I believe when he shouts, he calls us all by name. And we hear our name called. And, you know, you can enjoy that or let it go. But we descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, and comfort one another with these words. Oh my, what a great hope that we have, folks. That's what's next for us. But what's next for the world and the kings of the earth and the great men and rich men and chief captains and the mighty men and every bondsman and every free man hid themselves in the dens of the rock and the rocks of the mountains and said to the rocks, the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Oh my, I hope that every person sitting here today can say absolutely not because of good works or because of anything that you've done, but because of putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have been born again biblically, and that you know that one day you will hear that voice, the shout, and the trump of God calling you up to be with the Lord Jesus. If not, understand please, if you are religious but lost, what is in store for you? You cannot even imagine. Therefore, fear the Lord. Learn of Him. Think on His name. Fear the Lord. Return to Him. Fear the Lord. Serve Him. Fear the Lord. Expect Him. Let's pray. Father, oh Lord, what great hope, expectation that we have because of the Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, we praise Thee that we can know that one day soon the Lord Jesus will descend from heaven and will call us home. Oh Lord, we would pray that it would be today yet. But Lord, it's possible that there would be someone in this auditorium this morning that if that happened, they would be left sitting in their seat. Perhaps with just one or two or three others. Lord, you know our hearts. Do pray, dear God, that all of us would choose to fear Thee, to walk in Your way, to return, whatever that means in our life. Oh Lord, we pray that we will do that for Your glory. And before I finish praying, is there anyone here with an uplifted hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. I just am not sure if I have been born again biblically, and you would like me to pray for you." Would you just raise your hand very quickly? Okay, amen. Anyone else? I'm not sure. I do not know if I were to die today or if the Lord Jesus were to come today, I would go to be with Him. Anyone else beside this one? Dear Father, You know our hearts. You know what are in our hearts and whether we truly have been born again or not. Lord, I would pray for this one that raised the hand and said, "I'm not sure." Oh Lord, I would pray that You would give that individual the courage to defy the will of Satan and will leave his place as we hear the music play and make his way to the front and say, "Oh, help me, help me." Lord, for all of us, Lord, teach us to fear Thee. Teach us to make the right choices that we need to make. Teach us to return to Thee to do what You tell us to do. And we praise Thee. With heads still bowed and eyes closed, please, let's stand. And I would invite that one, even right this moment, to leave your place and come to the front. There's a man, one of our deacons is here to meet you. I would urge you to come and deal with that today. Not any one of us have any guarantee that we'll live throughout the day. So if you raise your hand, I would beg you to come. Lord Jesus is calling you to come this morning.